Proverbs 28, 1 through 14. This is God's word. The wicked flee when no one is pursuing, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. By the transgression of a land, many are its princes, but by a man of understanding and knowledge, so it endures. A poor man who oppresses the lowly is like a driving rain which leaves no food. Those who forsake the law praise the wicked, but those who keep the law strive with them. Evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all things. Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than he who is crooked, though he be rich. He who keeps the law is a discerning son, but he who is a companion of gluttons humiliates his father. He who increases his wealth by interest and usury gathers it for him who is gracious to the poor. He who turns away his ear from listening to the law, even his prayer is an abomination. He who leads the upright astray in an evil way will himself fall into his own pit, but the blameless will inherit good. The rich man is wise in his own eyes, but the poor who has understanding sees through him. When the righteous triumph, there is great glory, but when the wicked rise, men hide themselves. He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. How blessed is the man who fears always, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity.
This morning we have our 43rd teaching from the book of Proverbs, and as our brother read, we're studying chapters 28, verses 1 through 14, and I've entitled this sermon, How Blessed is the Man Who Fears, or Those Who Fear Aren't Afraid. Let's begin with the introduction. From the opening of Proverbs until now, and as it will be through the closing of the book, the subject of the fear of the Lord is ever before us. A right and proper fear of the Lord is inseparable from wisdom. Apart from this fear, there is no wisdom, and in whom there is true godly wisdom, there is also an ever-present fear of the Lord. Now, way back in the beginning of our study of Proverbs, I spent some time talking about the fear of the Lord, and I'm not going to rehearse all that for you again. You can go back and listen to that online. But we did read at the very first, in the first chapter, as the Spirit breathed out the words, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And the 29th verse of that first chapter followed, expressing that fools hate wisdom on account that they fail to choose to fear the Lord. As I said, wisdom and fear, the fear of the Lord, go hand in hand. If one is wise, they will choose to fear the Lord, and if they choose to fear the Lord, they will be wise. How do we choose to fear the Lord, or what comes out of our choosing to fear the Lord? The second chapter of Proverbs said, verses 1 through 6, My son, if you receive my sayings and treasure my commandments within you, if you make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding, for if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom. Those who choose to receive the Father's sayings, treasure his commandments, make their ear attentive to his wisdom, incline their heart to his understanding, cry to him for discernment, lift their voice to him for understanding, seeking his wisdom as a treasure, as silver, they will discern the fear of the Lord, discovering the knowledge of God on account that God will bless them. He will give them wisdom. Not only will they have a knowledge of wisdom, but wisdom will be in them, motivating them, working in them, guiding them. Family, as the scripture says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. And the Lord's promise, everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. I want to ask you this morning, are you engaged in actively seeking the Lord? Or is your walk a passive walk? Coming to church on Sunday morning? Well, that's good. Is it enough? No, it's not. Are you actively involved in seeking God, crying out to him, searching him out? James affirmed this very thing. He said in chapter 1, verse 5, but if any of you lacks wisdom, what is he supposed to do? Let him ask of God. And God is the one who gives to all men generously and without reproach. When you come to God asking him for wisdom, he's not going to chew you out. He's going to give generously and without reproach. It will be given to the one who asks, the Bible says. What does that phrase in James 1:5, let him ask of God, express except that one must, in reverential fear, humbly bow before the Lord, so believing and trusting in him, so desiring him, so reverencing him, that they choose to go to him in prayer, seeking his provision of wisdom. Knowing that such a holy thing as wisdom can only be granted by the hand of the Holy God. Beloved, my family, I want to ask you this morning, as we've studied the Proverbs, having received his sayings, treasured his commands, making our ear attentive, inclining our eyes, our heart to understanding, have you also gone to the Father, bowing low before him, choosing to solemnly reverence him by crying out for discernment, lifting your voice for understanding, asking him to give you wisdom, or in failing to fear him properly, have we mistakenly thought that wisdom would be gained not as a gift granted from his hand, but through mere mental exercise? Well, of course, the brain is involved. We must remember that this is a spiritual exercise. For all good gifts come from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Do we, in a true fear of the Lord, humbly bow before his throne, lifting our voice, asking him for wisdom, or in a failure to choose to fear him, have we thought we would gain wisdom through study alone? This is a problem among those who give themselves to expository teaching. They think that's all they need. And so they gain knowledge, but not personal relationship. Now, if I want a good personal relationship with God, I need to know who he is as he has explained himself to us. Amen? But beloved, we can gain a bunch of facts and have no relationship. Amen? Do we cry out to God? One of the reasons we don't ask of God is because we don't fear him properly, and where there is no fear of him, there is no wisdom. Letter A, the quest for divine wisdom is a divine endeavor, and not only must we hit the book, but our knees must hit the floor as we receive his sayings while asking him who gives to all men generously and without reproach. Beloved, we will not gain his wisdom until we learn to fear him, and just as he is worthy of all our praise, so is he worthy of our full fear. For he is the Holy One, the Sovereign, the All-Glorious Almighty, mighty in strength, awesome in power, terrible in wrath, beautiful in splendor, the Creator who holds life and salvation in his hand. If we fear the Lord, then surely we will receive his sayings while lifting our voice to him, and he will generously supply us with his wisdom. Roman numeral 1. In choosing to fear the Lord, let us study his words of wisdom while crying out to him, trusting that he will grant us an abundance of understanding. So here we go. We're going to read the word, and this is an exercise of faith. Verse 1, the wicked flee when no one is pursuing, but the righteous are bold as a lion. The wicked are confused about life. They stand their ground when they should run, and run when they should stand their ground. While for every good reason they should bow before God, they instead bow before men for no good reason. Instead of reasonably fearing God, they unreasonably fear men. And this fear motivates them to act irrationally according to what they imagine might happen rather than by faith in Christ and what His Word says. Will we aimlessly go about as our imaginations run us in circles? Or will we be firmly founded in the unchangeable, unshakable Christ and His Word? Being the rock of ages, our Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And though heaven and earth pass away, His word will endure, being fulfilled to the nth degree. You want something solid to stand upon? It's not a something, it's a someone. It's Jesus Christ. Otherwise, give yourself to your imagination and you will run circles all your life, and then you'll die. How many times have we sought to counsel someone in the Word of God who, of fear of what men might do, respond with, but what if? But what if? But what if? You know what that response is? It's a response of faithlessness. This is because they fear what men might do rather than trusting in God and what He has said. Shall we read the Word of God with an adversative of doubt ever on the tip of our tongue, or shall we read what with faith that is founded in Jesus Christ? Shall we read upon hearing the written words of God with apprehension, saying, but what if? How often have we feared what never came about? Well, we know what God says will come about. What is this except a lack of faith in Christ? If we will fear Him who is, we will find no reason to be afraid of what might be. The righteous, hearing the word of God with fear and trembling and faith believing, said, yes, there it is. There is the wisdom of God for me. Lord, as I fear you, I trust you. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. I'll do what you want me to do. Do with me as it pleases you. And even if you slay me, yet will I trust you. Family, do you see that the one who fears God alone is as bold as a lion? They fear not men, but God who holds their soul. The righteous one who fears God, though men tie them to the stake to be burned, go to that stake with head held high, unashamed to share in the sufferings of Jesus Christ. How many times have we read of those being martyred? As by the great grace of God, they sing praises to God as they hold up their head and breathe their last. These go proclaiming the temporal nature of this life while proclaiming the eternal nature of the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Letter A. While wickedness confuses the man, making him improperly fearful, righteousness guides the man, making him properly courageous. If we will fear the Lord, we will be emboldened in Him. Verse 2. By the transgression of a land, many are its princes, but by a man of understanding and knowledge, so it endures. Sin in a land leads to instability. It's not only about my sin and your sin and how it affects us personally, but it is how it affects our family, our friends, those around us, the church, and the state, and the nation. What happens to a nation that rebels against God? Well, open your eyes up and witness it. Is it not put in turmoil and weakened? Doesn't God give them rulers that are more a judgment on the nation than ministers of good? What happens in a nation where anarchy and rebellion rules in the hearts of a people? Soon rebels rise to power and think it theirs to abandon the God who established their nation. With self-imposed power, they force change that reflects their values rather than God's, bringing great instability and decline to the land. But if there be one righteous leader, one of understanding and knowledge, who understands the will of God and applies his wisdom, then will the nation and her peoples be blessed, enduring in holiness, prospering in righteousness, being a light of God in this dark world. As God chose a nation to be a light in this world, but for the time has rejected the Christ, so has Christ chosen the church of all nations to be an unavoidable light, that the world may know that God is God, the only God, the one true God, and that his Christ actually, truly redeems. Beloved, the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, urged us to offer entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgiving on behalf of all men and for kings and all who are in authority, in order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is the will of God for us. We must be a people of prayer who pray that our leaders will be leaders of righteousness, who are not worried about their own fame and legacy, but are concerned about the fame and the heritage of God. The last time they asked me to come up to Santa Fe to pray before the legislation session, I prayed, God, let us not worry about making history today, but about exalting you. They never asked me back. Where the righteousness of God rules, there is stability, for his will is unchanging, ever the same, and it is in him that a nation endures. One more thing I would add then, in application of this, this is a great concern for some congregations where they change pastors so often. I have known congregations that, due to the rebellion of the peoples and or the pastors, they change pastors often. How can that congregation get established enough to productively shine the light of Christ? Oftentimes, there is so much turmoil in these congregations that are having changeover all the time. Oftentimes, there is so much turmoil that there are more a blight on the Savior's name than exalting his name. But if the people would be a people of understanding, if the pastor would be a man of knowledge, what stability and blessings of God would fall upon them, and not just for their generation, but for the generation to come. And you do understand that. I understand it. When I'm preaching and another week passes, this is for the years to come, for our children and our grandchildren who are coming up after us. I love the name of our congregation, Heritage. God has given us a divine heritage, and it is ours to pass that heritage on, to tell our children and our children's children. Beloved, if our pastors will be men of understanding and knowledge, and what a great responsibility is upon us pastors, we will give an account. And if the congregation will be a people set apart holy unto God, then we will pass on a heritage that will endure, and so will our children and our children's children know the Lord. Letter B, those who fear the Lord with understanding and knowledge pass on the faith that endures for all generations. May God grant it to us as we fear him alone. Verse 3. A poor man who oppresses the lowly is like a driving rain which leaves no food. A man of little means who is also poor in the faith, but full of pride, will, when given opportunity, unscrupulously oppress the lowly, forgetting from where they came. We have seen this in our world as some poor peasant led a rebellion and rose to power and it went to his head. We've seen those things. We've seen that in leaders in our world. And we see it in our world today as terrorist groups rise up and oppress even their own. Stunning. They kill their own. Having seized some weapons and resources, these who were poor now oppress the lowly. Like a rain that washes away a field of produce, leaving nothing behind, these pillage, rape, and kill their own kind, leaving, as it were, a scorched earth. What is the lesson here? What wisdom is there in this to be applied for us, by us? Well, first of all, it's along the line of the instruction of qualifying an elder, as 1 Timothy 3:6 says. An elder can't be a new convert, lest he become conceited and fall into the condemnation incurred by the devil, becoming pride-filled. Give a person too much power and authority too quickly, raising them up, having been poor and still being poor in knowledge and the wisdom of God, poor in faith, he will not understand that his authority is for the good of the lowly, but he'll think it's for his own good. And he'll grab and seize the opportunity, and he'll take advantage of the lowly who cannot defend themselves. The wisdom, see to it that someone doesn't rise up too soon. Further then, if one should rise and oppress the lowly, it is the responsibility of those with the means to deliver them, the lowly, seeking to free the subdued humble by subduing the proud oppressor. We must stand for righteousness. We must cry out for the widow and the orphaned, the oppressed. With this in mind, we look to verses 4 and 5. Those who forsake the law praise the wicked, but those who keep the law strive with them. Evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all things. This follows in perfect harmony with the previous verses. Rebellions praise rebellions. Fornicators have sympathy for fornicators. Foul-mouthed fools admire foul-mouthed fools. And when fools rise to power, they are praised by fools. When leaders are wicked, they will praise those who forsake the law. I have never seen a time where a nation so sympathizes with lawbreakers and persecutes those who abide and even uphold the law. How many times is it filmed as people are breaking the law and the media speaks of sympathy for them? They're lawbreakers. They ought to be in jail. I'm telling you, that first verse, let me find it, because I don't have a brain that can quote it. That first verse, the wicked flee when no one is pursuing, and when I said the wicked are confused, the wicked are confused. They call wickedness good and good wicked. We are in a moral reversal in our land. Yes, I'll try, Sean. So as I said, I've never seen a time where a nation so sympathizes with lawbreakers and persecutes those who abide and even uphold the law, and vice versa. When a leader forsakes the law of the land, it is the wicked lawless who praise them. But those who fear God, and in so doing keep the law, they strive. They struggle, they wrestle with the lawless, working to uphold the law rather than rebelling against it. They will pronounce what is right. Those who forsake the law praise the wicked because evil men do not understand justice. They are confused. But those who keep the law strive with them on account that they have sought the Lord and they understand all things. Comprehending the condition of the nation, they cry out like keepers of the gate. They call out when danger is near, and they call out what is wrong, and they warn the people. Let her see. Those who fear the Lord understand the danger of those who fail to fear the Lord, working to prevent the wicked from rising to power and gaining authority. Righteousness contends with wickedness, and so do the wise contend with the influence of the fool. This is why we strive to faithfully preach the word, exalting Christ while debasing wickedness, shining light in dark places. As we who are in Christ, having sought him to have understanding that the unsaved simply do not have, as spiritual things are spiritually appraised, we then must lift up the righteousness of God so as to suppress the wickedness of evil men. And beloved, know this, that as we exalt Christ, the wicked, who commend lawlessness, will seek our ruin. If you don't know it, they're in the courts after the church right now. But remember, church, in Christ, the righteous are bold as a lion. It must be our prayer, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Verse 6. Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than he who is crooked, though he be rich. When God looks upon men, he has their heart in view, not their wealth. You're not taking your checking account to heaven with you. Well, men of folly cherish riches above all else. It is a right heart which God cherishes. Ill-gotten gain is the produce of an ill soul. And the Lord sees it and he knows it. Letter D. Those who fear the Lord have their priorities in order. Integrity, godliness, is to be infinitely valued over material wealth. Verse 7, he who keeps the law is a discerning son, but he who is a companion of gluttons humiliates his father. The discerning son is known by this simple fact. You can observe it. He keeps the law. The one who keeps the law is a discerning son, which means what? He fears the Lord. But in contrast, the son who is a companion of gluttons, not just gluttons who eat too much, but those who are gluttons of anything, who are given to wanton waste, who squander their resources, who give themselves to riotous living, those sons shame their father. Why? Because leaven influences the whole lump. Not to call that son a lump. The son is known by the company he keeps. And so, dear one, what company do you keep? As a child of God, have you come out from among them? Them being those who live the life of unchecked sin. Do you bring dishonor or glory and honor to the Father? You know, the Father who so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son to the cross for you? Do you bring him dishonor by the company you keep, or honor and glory because you obey the law? Letter E. Those who fear the Lord, their Father, refuse to shame his name by being a companion of those who are given to riotous living. Verse 8. He who increases his wealth by interest and usury gathers it for him who is gracious to the poor. The man who gathers for himself at the expense of others, taking unfair advantage of the poor in their need, that is a man whom God opposes. While the greedy gather their ill-gotten gain in one place for themselves, God will deal with them. He will. And it will turn out that they will, that it is that they have gathered all that together, that God then may put it in the hands of a gracious person that they might distribute that wealth to the poor. You got it from the poor, it's going back to the poor. God blesses good stewards with more while he diminishes the prize of the greedy. Nothing wrong with gain. Nothing wrong with wealth. There can be a wrong love of money. That's sinful. But as God blesses you, that's for you to bless others with. Amen? Letter F. Rather than dishonestly profiting off the backs of the poor, those who fear the Lord give to the poor, and by God are entrusted with even more. Verse 9. He who turns away his ear from listening to the law, even his prayer is an abomination. The prayers offered from the lips of the lawless are detestable to God. In a sense, we can say he doesn't hear their prayers. In another sense, he does hear them. He doesn't hear them in so much their prayers don't move him to answer them the way they ask. But in another sense, he hears them, and they are a stench in the nostrils of God. While he hears the repentant cry of all who call upon his name, he has not promised to hear the prayer of the wicked. In fact, the psalmist said, Psalm 66:18, if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Well, that's pretty clear. And 1 Peter 3:7 teaches that the prayers of the husband who refuses to live with his wife in understanding, his prayers will be hindered. As the 66th Psalm reveals, the Lord hears the prayers of those who fear him. Of those who fear him, he hears their prayers and heeds their voice. Psalm 66, verses 16 and 19. Letter G. Those who fear the Lord listen to his word, and as they lift their voice, the Lord hears and answers their righteous prayers. Righteous prayers being prayers that are prayed in the name of Jesus, that is according to his will. Amen. Verse 10, he who leads the upright astray in an evil way will himself fall into his own pit, but the blameless will inherit good. Jesus said, Matthew 18:6, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to stumble, it is better for him that a heavy millstone be hung around his neck and that he be drowned in the depth of the sea. Why would being drowned in the depths of the sea be better? Because that's better than facing the full wrath of God. God is not messing with those who cause his little ones to stumble. Those who seek to harm the people of God by digging a pit for them will, in fact, face the retribution of God as he will trip them up into their own pit. But in great contrast, the one who is blameless before the Lord, who does his precious children not harm but good, God will see to it that they inherit good. Amen? Read the story of Esther and learn. Letter H. Those who fear the Lord fear doing his children wrong, especially in leading them astray. They also know that God blesses those who do his children good with good. Are you a doer of good? Are you a blessing to God's people or a thorn in their flesh? Consider yourself before God. Verse 11. The rich man is wise in his own eyes, but the poor who has understanding sees through him. As a man fails to humbly give thanks to God for his possessions, especially if he's rich, he will begin then to think that he is rich on his own account, that he is his own blessing. I'm so good to myself. How great is that man's lack of understanding? Rich in dollars, perhaps, poor in God and wisdom, yes. But the poor man who has understanding, he has the great advantage, understanding, the wisdom of God. I'm telling you, if you have understanding the wisdom of God, you've got it all. Because you can't have it without fearing the Lord. If you fear the Lord, you'll love the Lord Jesus. Amen? If you have wisdom and understanding, you have it all. The poor man who has understanding is infinitely more valuable than material possession, that man will see through the empty pride and arrogant boasting of the rich, and seeing through him, he will also see the rich man's end. How often are poor believers jealous of the rich wicked, looking at their possessions instead of their end? We need to have the heavenly view. The poor man who has understanding has an understanding of the rich man who is wise in his own eyes. This understanding will cause the poor man to give to God thanks that God has kept the temptations of riches from him. And hasn't God chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith? We sure don't think of it in this world, but let me tell you something. There is an advantage to being poor. Now, it is evident to everybody that God has blessed my family and I, and we're not poor. But I remember the day when I was a little boy, and if we had a coat, we had one. If we had a shirt, we had one. Mom would have to wash the shirt at night so we could wear it tomorrow. And I remember eating navy beans night after night after night. Still to this day, when I smell navy beans cooking, I go, ugh. When I was a kid, not that you need to know all this, I would come home and I was so sick of navy beans. Thanks be to God, my parents were absolutely doing the best they could do. But I walked into that house and would smell those navy beans and I would go straight upstairs to bed because I knew I couldn't stomach another bowl of navy beans. And I knew if I didn't eat, I'd have to go to bed. But can I tell you something? My mama and my daddy trusted God. And they trusted God for the next meal. You could say of me today, if I fail to fear the Lord, I won't trust him for my next meal. I've got a dollar in my pocket. Well, if you want a next meal, I've got $10 in my pocket. God has chosen the poor in this world to be rich in faith. If you're poor, don't feel sorry for yourself. Give God thanks that he's teaching you to trust him. Amen? Amen. Now, not only that, the poor man will understand his advantage, but the poor man will also pity the plight of the rich man. And this doesn't happen unless we understand. The poor man will pity the plight of the rich man, for it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Better I. Those who fear the Lord understand the dangerous deceptions of wealth and give God thanks that he has preserved them. Look at the rich man in his arrogance and give God thanks, but for his grace, that's where we would go. Verse 12, when the righteous triumph, there is great glory, but when the wicked rise, men hide themselves. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit moved as I think about God's grace toward us. Where's my wife? Is she in the nursery working? I want to say God sure has blessed us, baby. Verse 12. When the righteous triumph, there is great glory, and when the wicked rise, men hide themselves. This has been seen throughout the ages from the time of the beginning of kings and nations as recorded in the pages of scriptures even until now. When wicked men rise to power, the people hide, not wanting to be found. Their hearts are struck with terror. Ashamed of and in fear of the wicked, there is no rejoicing. At times like this, the people of mistrust and suspicion, of oppression, fear venturing out, they hide behind closed doors. But church, when the righteous prevail, there is freedom in Christ and bringing victory to the land, then there is open celebrating and shouting in the streets. What a contrast. We've seen the old documentaries of World War II with the Nazis parading into a town and people being ordered to greet them. You've seen those? They hide their faces in shame and terror, weeping as they wave their handkerchiefs. And then later, as the Allied troops gained the victory, the same masses celebrated in the street, joyously welcoming the triumphant heroes. This is a picture of this proverb. When wickedness prevails, it crushes the spirit of men, but when the glory of God is revealed in triumph, the triumph of righteousness, the hearts of men are lifted. They're made glad. When wicked leaders are in charge, the wickedness and evil howling in the streets, good people go into hiding, and the times become darker yet. Beloved, consider our nation and our time. God have mercy. As evil prevails and makes its advances, I can tell you that 20 years ago, we wouldn't dream the condition our nation's in today. Not even 10 years ago, huh? As evil prevails, it seems the church giving way. As cowards compromising, the church is losing her voice, and so in this way is the glory of God suppressed. We, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, must not lose our voice, but we must exalt him, lifting him on high with voice and life, testifying to the lost souls of this world that righteousness is triumphant, for our God is a glorious God who sets the captives free. As times get darker, so does the light shine brighter. Though we once were lost, now we are found. Though we once were slaves of sin, now the Son has set us free. Though we once hid our faces in shame, the shame of sin, now we lift up our faces as they shine with the glory of God. Let the righteousness of God prevail so that the glory of God may shine, making the nations glad. We can complain all day long about the evil in the world, but let us be a light that shines all the brighter as the times get darker. Letter J, those who fear the Lord find it their righteous responsibility and privilege to be a blessing to the people within their sphere of influence, revealing the freedom that is available to them in Christ, that they would come to glorify the Lord and Savior. Verse 13, he who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. The one who conceals his sin is the one whose prayer the Lord will not hear. And how will that man prosper? Tell me. That man is like Adam, who having fallen into sin, tried to hide his shame as he hid from God. What good was going to come from hiding from God? The only hope Adam had was God. Thanks be to God that God called Adam out and by his own sovereign grace covered Adam's shame so that he would not sense the need to hide. And beloved, for us, God calls us out. While in sin and shame, we would hide from God. We try to cover over our sin. We try to justify our own sinfulness. We try to blame everybody else for our sin. And we even get angry with God that he identifies us as sinners. Yet he, while we were yet sinners, gave his Son to the cross for us, promising that if we could come to his Son confessing our sin, that Jesus would be faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it is true. Whoever confesses his sin, forsaking their sin and repentance, will realize the compassion of God as it has been made manifest in the giving of his Son. God gave his Son, and you will realize it when you come to him for forgiveness. Great compassion. He is a Lord of compassion. Amen. Letter K, those who fear the Lord properly do not hide from him being afraid, but they run to him knowing that though his wrath is to be poured out on account of unconfessed sin, he is also quick to forgive confessed sin, saving the repentant from the wrath to come. It is a glory to God. He loves to forgive sin. Amen? He loves to restore the sinner. But if you will not come to your senses, if you will not come to the wisdom of God, if you will not believe in him, you will taste his wrath. A proper fear of God does not push us away from him, but draws us to him. It's hard to make a comparison here, but I'm going to try a little bit. When a nation is strong, and there is another nation that is weak, that weak nation, if they fear that strong nation properly, will come and be an ally to them. They will come under their strength instead of resisting their strength. Now, if they're resisting their strength, they've got reason to be afraid. But if they will have a proper fear, it will endear them to them. It will draw them to them. So I'm saying a proper fear of God does not push us away from Him, but draws us to Him. Fearing God, the wise run to Him instead of hiding from Him. Those who fear the Lord don't want to be found apart from Him, but clinging to Him. So then we have the 14th verse. How blessed is the man who fears always, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. How well this follows the previous verse. He who fears the Lord, having come to Him and confessing and turning from their sin, finds forgiveness and compassion. In this, that soul is most blessed. There is no one as blessed as the one who has come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church said, unlike the negative thoughts of fear, the one who fears the Lord has every reason to be filled with triumphant joy. Those who fear the Lord trust Him, believe Him at His word, receive His sayings, lift their voice to Him, humbly confess their sins, and find that in Christ there is compassion. Having the blessednesses of God in the fear of God, the wise choose to fear Him always, nonstop, continually, without end. And why should there be a pause in fearing God when one who fears is always so blessed in God? Wisdom won't allow for anything but a continual gripping fear of the Lord. In contrast, then, there are those who choose not to fear the Lord. That is foolishness, sheer stupidity. They harden their hearts to His word. Think of Pharaoh. Stupidity. They harden their hearts to His call, to His word, to His warnings. And today they harden their heart against His Son. Those will fall into calamity. Calamity of sin after calamity of sin until there is the final fall into the calamity of hell. What a life. Take care for your soul, dear one. Take care for your soul. Choose today who you will serve. Letter L. Those who fear the Lord know the joy of the Lord, the joy of His forgiveness and salvation, the joy of being at peace with Him. Those who choose not to fear the Lord will at last know nothing but the calamity of eternal wrath and hellfire. Closing, beloved, if you will choose to fear the Lord, then you will have no reason to be afraid of anything else. Choose to fear the Lord by choosing to follow after Christ. Before us lay blessing and calamity. Choose today who you will serve. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. This is the promise of God. So we bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we pray today that all would turn to You, that we would learn to fear You more, and Lord, that today we would be so moved by the preponderance of Your word as Your Spirit works within us. Lord, that we would cry out to You, learning of this fear, that we would hear Your word and we would search after You. We would lift our voice to You, pleading for this wisdom, for we understand that Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God to those who are being saved. Lord God, help us to grow in Your wisdom that we might know how to not only have the Lord in our heart, but to live the life He would have us. Lord, that we would be a blessing to You and thus a blessing to all around us. Lord, I pray for us, for judgment begins in the house of the Lord. Lord, that we would follow after You, that we would love You, that we would pursue You, that we would take care to obey Your word as we love You, as we desire You, as we long to please You. Lord, may we be that church without a spot or a wrinkle, and may we be a light in a dark world. And Lord, may it be that we so influence this nation that the nation would turn, that we would have righteous leaders, and that you would be glorified, known to be our God. Lord, in a world of various religions, all of them false, may it be that we are not ashamed to name your name, so that the world will know that you are God. Lord, help us not to be afraid and run about, but in fearing you, to be bold as a lion. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. He is the Christ. Amen.